to The Best Worst Story You Never Read. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading a single story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is The Cat of Red Swamp by RS1246. Rebellious campers snuck out without their counselors knowing, and they took the kitten with them. Jenny had found the kitten a couple of days earlier under Cabin 13, and had been hiding it under her bed.
"Why did you bring that thing, Jenny? You're going to attract attention," complained Ryla.
"I couldn't just leave it. Somebody could have found it. There's no telling what the counselors will do with it,"
Jenny retorted.
"Plus, look how cute it is,"
Ricky added, reaching over to pet the kitten, who responded by swatting and hissing at him.
"Yeah, it's actually not that friendly to anyone else,"
Jenny said, as she put the kitten back in her knapsack. The group arrived at the Red Swamp.
"Well, pretty spooky, right?"
This was Ricky's second year at the camp, and he was trying to spook the first years with this old legend.
"This isn't as scary as you said it would be,"
Carly, one of the first year campers, said, a little nervously.
"Why is it called the Red Swamp again?"
"It wasn't always called the Red Swamp,"
Ricky said mockingly.
"It used to just be a swamp, until one night, a night just like this one, a creature made its way into the camp. Using whatever dark powers it had, got nearly half the camp to follow it back to the swamp, where it devoured them one by one, until the waters had soaked up so much blood, they were red for years. Even now, with light from the full moon, you can see the red tint of the waters."
"That's dumb," said Carly. "Come on, Ryla, let's get back to camp and listen to my new CD.
There was no answer.
"Wait, where is Ryla?" Carly asked.
"She was just right here,"
said Tim, another camper.
"Oh, and the kitten isn't in my bag anymore,"
said Jenny.
"Did anyone bring a flashlight?"
No one answered. The prophecy had been fulfilled again. That was The Cat of Red Swamp by RS1246. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we just heard. Today we have Brian Dickman, the new producer for The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Brian, welcome back on the show, and I guess welcome to the show in general as our new producer. That's very exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting.
We're glad to have you. Are you glad to be here?
Mostly, I think.
Oh? Some reservations?
Yeah, always.
Always the same reservations, or?
Yeah, just the same couple haunting memories. You know, take them with me everywhere. So.
Sure. What are those?
It's kind of private.
I know.
But, well, you know, when you're a kid.
I do know. Well, as our viewers know, I didn't really experience childhood. I kind of grew up really fast in that ages like 7 to 14 are not really existent in my memory.
Oh, well, that sounds like a blessing.
Oh. Ages 7 to 14 were difficult for you?
Yeah, I had to go to a new school quite often.
Oh.
Yeah.
Same new school?
Yeah, because everyone forgot that I went there.
Oh.
Like, every week it was like, "Oh, Brian, you must be the new kid." And I just went along with it because, I mean, what else was I going to do?
They knew your name, though.
Yeah.
Did it have to do with the fact that you're always wearing this name tag that you're wearing currently?
Yeah.
Huh.
Did your mother not teach you to wear name tags?
Name tags,
everywhere?
No.
Huh.
She didn't teach me that, I guess I kind of learned it by the way of the world. There was an older woman once that I became very close with, and she suggested it, but we had a falling out, and I stopped doing it. I wasn't really doing it religiously to begin with, honestly. It was really just to appease her.
Well, this is a lot of interesting backstory.
Well, we're in a closet, so I figure it's appropriate. And there are only, like, 30 people that listen to this, so it's not like this is going to spread out across the internet and everyone's going to find out this juicy information about me, track her down, and get her to reveal all the dirty stuff that we did.
Is that why you brought it up?
Well, what'd you think about the story?
Oh, yeah, the story.
The Cat of Red Swamp by RS1246. I can never remember.
There were numbers involved.
Author of The Cat of Red Swamp, I'm going to go ahead and apologize if we get your username wrong. Numbers are tough. I think we would all agree with that.
Certainly, certainly.
The number 9 particularly, very tough number. I've seen it get into a couple of fights, and
I've seen it lose one particular fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where, in fact, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, because of the other number. Because of 8, like the number between 7 and 9.
What?
The number 8?
No, 7 ate it. Like, it killed it.
Consumed it?
Ate it, yeah.
Well, you know what they say. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I've heard kindergartners say that. And other people who are counting.
Accountants, maybe.
Maybe. Not people who are counting backwards. They don't say 1, 2, 3. Unless they mess up.
Happens a lot.
Yeah, well, not all of us can be accountants.
If only.
That is the dream. Anyway, The Cat of Red Swamp. Well, what are your initial thoughts? I mean, I have some of my own, but I don't want to sway your judgment.
It was pretty spooky. At least it was building up to a level of spook.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of ended.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I felt that this, the way that this story was working is it kind of set its sights on a grand peak of horror. And it started at a very nice base camp, I think. They had all the materials. They had everything set up. They started climbing up this grand peak, this mountain, if you will, to a terrifying end. But then, like, right around, I don't know, 300 feet, they just turned around, called it quits.
Yeah.
Or found an elevator to the top. I'm not entirely sure how this analogy was meant to work from the beginning. I kind of just rolled with it.
You just wanted the pun on base camp, because it takes place in a camp, right?
I didn't, but I'm glad that you brought that up. This is why you're the producer, you know? You provide these sorts of things for us. I would say that was my general opinion as well, and I think that's why we chose it as a bad story, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that it?
It just stops.
Right. Very modernist in that way. Postmodernist, perhaps, no.
It could be a deconstruction of certain horror tropes, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I wanted to say that I felt like there were some elements of, like, an eroticism as well. I felt like there was something there that was, like, this could have built up to a lot of things. Like, I thought that the bit about Carly and Ryla was going somewhere.
Yeah, there were a lot of paths open, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they just canceled the hike entirely.
Yeah. The hike or the hype?
Both. I said hike, trying to switch up metaphors, but keeping it outdoorsy.
Oh, yeah, sure, okay.
But hype works better, now that you mention it.
Because
I remember, at least for me, there's a lot of hype around this story.
Oh, really?
Because apparently RS Numbers...
Yeah.
Has written some other horror stories that got a little bit of traction.
Is that so?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I suggested this among other stories.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, this is now, I guess, the one of several stories where our guest is more familiar with the story than I am. Please tell us, what are these other stories?
Well, one of them, and they're working with a theme here.
Okay.
It was called The Beast of the Blue Bay, which not only keeps with the theme of a creature and a location, but also has some nice alliteration.
Yeah, that is nice. That is very nice. Was that one good?
That one's the most popular one. Certainly a lot of people liked it.
Like the color blue.
Yes. Really, the alliteration, I feel, always just draws people in.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I know, this is somewhat unrelated, but just to explain my love for alliterations, right? I go to this Halloween-themed store, right? And it's called Webs, Wigs, and Whatever You Want.
That's good.
Yeah. It's open all year.
Really?
They only sell webs and wigs. So the last part of it, of whatever you want, is actually...
very niche.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't go there often. Whenever I need webs or wigs, actually. So. They do have some memorabilia from wig party campaigns.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
A little bit.
Historical.
Yeah. Hmm. Historical Halloween.
Is there an H in the wigs in the name, like the party?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
In the store name. Is what I mean.
Oh, no.
No. Oh.
I think the wig memorabilia is meant to be in the whatever else you want part of the name. It's a long name, actually. Maybe I'm going to stop going. I was really only going there to get t-shirts that they were selling and webs and wigs, but... anyway, well, let's move on. Were there any other stories that you wanted to mention that RS772630 has written?
Let's see. There's one other I read in preparation for the show, which now I'm getting the feeling I may be taking this job too seriously.
No, maybe. Yeah.
Their other story was called The Rainy Skies Over Washington, which was a very taut political thriller. Very different.
Yeah?
Pretty good.
Oh, really?
No one liked it. So I think that's why they stuck with the horror for this newer one.
Well, tell me more about this story. That sounds interesting.
It was interesting. It was about a newly elected congressional
member.
Member? Yeah.
I guess so.
Of the House.
Oh, I see. Congressman.
Yes.
Congressman or woman?
It was a man, yes.
Okay.
And he was setting up his office.
A human man?
It doesn't really specify.
Okay.
But I think we're supposed to infer.
All right.
And it's told mostly through the eyes of a new page in the White House, in the Capitol
building. A page in a book?
No, like an assistant.
Oh, okay.
A page. Although that would have been interesting.
That is, yeah, I'm going to make a note of that for my own writing.
Yeah, you should.
Anyway, continue.
So it's mostly about the fall of this man who's trying to do good for his district, for his country, and succumbs to political pressures.
And his country's on Earth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I tend to not assume things about stories that people are telling me, so I always have to ask questions.
That's good. That's a good policy to have.
Thank you. Yeah. If someone were to be telling someone else about, say, like, my biography currently in the works, then I wouldn't want them to assume that I was a human man.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will draw a lot of assumptions from your biography.
Yes, or at least assumptions when people explain the biography to them. Because they'll be starting off and they'll be like, there was this man who was running a podcast, and they'll assume that it was a successful podcast, that I am a human man, that I do not exist on any other realms or time planes. And those are assumptions that if they actually read the biography, that they might have some questions about. Luckily, I'm still here to answer them. So.
Huh.
Yeah. It is autobiographical. But I am employing a ghostwriter.
That sounds complicated.
It is, especially since the ghostwriter is the ghost that was in this studio, the closet, just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh. I haven't met him, her, it.
Ghost.
Ghost?
Yeah.
Ghosts don't have genders, or?
Ghost is the gender.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I have a lot to learn about the afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. But luckily, you will probably learn those things here. Well, I think it's only appropriate that we give an apology to the listeners who didn't get an episode last week. I can't speak for Brian yet. We haven't negotiated that part of the contract yet. But we did not have an episode last week. But we do have a very good reason. We were celebrating a holiday. One of my favorite holidays,
actually. A very special holiday,
yeah,
yes.
Our All-Day Daiquiri Day.
All-Day Daiquiri Day.
Yeah.
National All-Day Daiquiri Day.
First annual National All-Day Daiquiri Day.
Yes.
It was a... Whew.
Yeah.
All day.
Lots of daiquiris.
Honestly, it went into the evening and the night as well.
Yes.
A little bit in the morning.
A little bit.
The early morning as well. And a little bit into the next day.
And the week.
Yeah. But All-Day Daiquiri Week is not as fun.
No, it's not.
All-Week Daiquiri Week might be open. Anyway, we'll discuss this further. But listeners, just so you know, September 23rd of every year is National, whatever annual, All-Day Daiquiri Day. Please make sure you participate. It's really for a good cause. And I think our nation, our society, our world, our universe even, would be better if more people celebrated All-Day Daiquiri Day. So, yeah, we apologize for not having the show, but I think they'll understand.
Yes. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. That is what they say these days. So. Hey, what about a game?
Okay, I like those.
So you probably know what the game is going to be. We do it every week. We ask the guests to write a sequel or a response to the story that we just heard. And then we have them read it. So we're going to ask you to do that. With the Cat of Red Swamp.
Okay.
All right. So you'll just write that out. And you only get 5 minutes. That's a hitch, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot.
I wouldn't know.
Well, that is the hitch.
Okay.
Like on a trailer.
What?
A trailer.
What's that?
Like
for movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the hitch, like...
Draws you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, this is going to go off without a hitch. And you're like, no, one, it's a trailer. And but then you realize that they meant, like, it's going to go off, like, it ends, it turns off. So it goes off without a hitch. That means it was a bad trailer.
Which is most of them.
Yeah. Anyway, so 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes, and you're going to write a response to this, and then you'll read it.
All right.
All right, so we'll
Let's get to it.
Okay, well, we'll take our 5 minutes now.
It is almost not really Halloween.
Yeah, well, you know, gotta prepare my spook.
Yeah.
You have a story for us.
Yes.
Do you want to read it?
Is that part of it?
Yeah.
Okay, then. I guess I will.
Okay. Did you have any troubles? Was it easy? Was it difficult?
It was a lot of soul-searching involved, but I wouldn't say difficult, no.
Hmm. Well, I know some workshops that you can take if in case you're interested.
No.
Okay. Well, whenever you're ready, just go ahead and read your story. A response to The Cat of Red Swamp by R.S.
Yes. So this is the sequel, The Red Swamp Lodge. Approximately 45 years later, the camp had long since closed down. Unable to get newer batches of campers after groups kept disappearing without a trace. A development group eventually bought the property and planned to make a high-end resort, the Red Swamp Lodge. There had been some debate over the name, some calling it crass, others insisted it lended historical impact and a touch of otherworldly danger that would sell quite well. The swamp itself was to be largely filled in, reduced to a small pocket not 5 acres across, more a garden for wealthy people to march through than a place of horror and despair. As construction started, nothing went wrong. The estimates for building were lower than actual cost turned out to be, but other than that, everything went smoothly. The old legends and prophecies were destroyed, small beasts consumed by the enormous monster of progress.
The end?
The end.
The end.
Forever.
Of all. Time immemorial has ended with the construction of this lodge.
Yes.
Well, that was nice.
Thank you.
Cheerful? No. Yes?
No.
No.
A little.
Yeah.
Bittersweet.
Like my favorite kinds of chocolate. I guess those are semi-sweet morsels, but I digress. Well, what inspired you to think about it 45 years later?
I think about that time period a lot.
45 years in the future?
Yeah. From every point. So it's always 45 years in the future.
That's an interesting perspective.
Not really.
Maybe for historians.
Future historians?
What about when you're learning, when you're thinking about history, when you're thinking about the past? Are you thinking about the present or a future past?
Am I, personally?
Yeah, like, if you're thinking about, say, like, the year 1300, are you actually thinking about the year...
1345?
Right.
Yes. Which makes studying history really difficult.
Yeah.
I always had to take that into account on exams. It always messed me up. I didn't get very far in my history degree.
Yeah. Could you see that? Could you see that you were going to have that difficulty when you started your history degree and were thinking about it 45 years down the road?
I don't have, the gift of foresight.
Oh.
So it's just, for a while, I thought I would be...
Not even 45 sight?
Is that a joke?
Foresight? Like...
Is this funny?
Like the number 4. We're making lots of number jokes here today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were saying you don't have the gift of foresight.
So for a while, 45 years down the road, I thought of myself as a famous historian.
Oh.
And then once that panned out, I had to think completely differently.
So. And around how old were you when this was happening?
18.
18? Okay, so you were actually, what is that? Minus 20, 25, minus another 2. Add 2? Minus 2? So you were roughly around actually negative 20 years old when this was happening? Or have you since been cured of this, looking at things 45? Is this a medical condition? Brian, are you there?
What? I'm sorry, I was thinking about 45 years from now.
Ah! What were you thinking about?
Oh, there were hover cars now, which is cool.
Now or then?
Yes. And, this podcast was still going on.
That is impressive.
You were still doing it in this closet.
Yeah, well.
Alone.
Had I figured a way out yet?
No.
The food was still coming, though.
Less and less, but yes.
Enough to survive.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly could use to lose a few pounds, so that won't be too much of a problem. Self-deprecating humor, Brian.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's a style of humor invented and pretty early on, actually, around like 204 BC, I believe, is the exact number.
249?
No, 204, actually.
Oh.
And it was a type of humor that was used by people who had been sent to execution, actually. And they'd been sent to execution, and if they told a joke that was funny enough, then they would be pardoned. And so what was ultimately most successful was the kind of humor that was about the crime that they had committed, because it would show both remorse and also a little bit of humor, a little bit of class, some comedy in there.
Some humility, maybe.
And that's where we get the term, as it were. So it's basically you're making fun of yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
To stave off death.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I'll
incorporate it. I'm so dumb.
Yeah. You definitely could work on it.
Okay, I will.
I have some workshops.
Really? Still not interested.
Okay. They're pretty cheap.
Well, with the salary I'm making here, pretty cheap is... Yeah. Too expensive.
That's true. Well, I don't know what else we should do. I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, it's nighttime.
Almost morning.
Almost.
Depending on... Is it exactly 45 years? Like, 45 years in the exact time? Or is it 45 years in a couple of hours? Or
it depends on how much time I have to think about it.
Mm, yeah.
But generally... It's exactly 45 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess, well, maybe we should play another game.
All right.
We got the wheel. Still got the wheel. Always got the wheel.
Still there.
Big wheel keeps on turning. I've made that joke before.
I wouldn't know.
Hmm. So we're going to turn it again. It actually stops. It stops eventually on a game. So, you've got a number of ways to do this. You can spin it with your hand. You can smile at it. It's being a little snarky today. And so I don't want to suggest anything, but I think the wheel, it kind of likes you.
Oh.
So if you smile at it, give it some recognition, then it might set things in motion, if you will. But then you would have to scowl at it afterwards to make it stop.
Oh.
So you would...
pretty good at that.
Have to do that kind of immediately so that it would stop on a game instead of just spinning rapidly and getting kind of out of control. There's not much space in here, so I don't want it to get too excited. Really, those are the only two options this week. We're having some maintenance done, as you know. So.
Yes.
Do you have a preference?
I'll try the smile.
Okay.
I need to practice my smile,
as it were. Mm-hmm. So just go whenever you're ready.
Okay. Smiling.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be working, actually.
Hmm.
Maybe I read the signals wrong. Maybe it was...
You'll scowl at it first.
Oh, yeah. Is that a scowl?
Evidently not.
Yeah, I don't... Maybe just spin it with
you. I'll just spin it.
Yeah. Well, there it goes. And round and round and round and round and stopping. I mean, it's got to stop eventually. You're not that strong.
Well.
And the wheel does have a slowing mechanism. So, well, it's landing on a game. This is a new game, actually. We've never played this one before. Oh, this new game is called Vivaldi's Vision. It's another alliteration there.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Vivaldi, as you know, was a musician. That's really the only connection. To what this game is about. What we're going to do is, you and I both actually are using the story that we just heard, the Cat of Red Swamp. Cat of the Red Swamp?
One of those, yeah.
Something. We're going to, right now, off the top of our heads, sing something.
Oh.
Yeah. It'll be tough.
That sounds fun isn't quite the right word.
No. But... and then after, in post, I will edit some music underneath this part.
Wow.
Yeah, that may or may not go with what we're singing.
There's a in post part to the show?
Mm-hmm. I do edit this, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Not much.
Well.
Yeah. So, well, do you want to start? Should I? I think, I mean, you're the guest. But I can start if you want.
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay.
Now, is my addition fair game?
No.
Good.
Yeah, sorry. So, I guess, are you good at singing?
No.
Okay, good. So, whenever you're ready, just sing a couple of lines, maybe one, a couple of verses that, is about the story that we just heard. Feel free to do it in any style that you want. I'll try and find some music that fits well underneath it. Or maybe on top of it, depending on how bad you are. So.
Yeah.
So whenever you're ready.
All right. Oh, the cat of the red swamp. He came and went as he pleased. Did he eat people? Maybe.
That was pretty catchy.
Hey, thanks.
I think mine might be better, though. I've actually got a children's tune that I'm going to sing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so... it goes like this. Ba-dun-da-dun-dun-dun. Down by the red swamp, there lived a cat. That cat is evil. Don't go near that. The cat is there. It's a little scary. If you go near that, things are gonna get hairy. Hey, red swamp cat, get the
lamb
away. Red swamp cat, get the
lamb
go away.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Well, you should think about making...
I am thinking about it, yeah. Oh. Well, how are you going to end that sentence, actually?
A children's show based around
show
that.
Around,
with
that's not what I was thinking of.
With that as the theme song.
But I do think that's a good idea. Hmm. I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah. Maybe 45
years
then.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. I might still be... Well, as you said, I might still be trapped in the closet. So. Well, Brian, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for continuing to be on the show.
Same time next week.
Yeah. We'll have a guest then, though. You
hopefully.
You know, you'll be producing.
Yes.
Not guesting.
Thankfully.
Tell me about it.
Oof.
Special thanks to our special guest, Brian Dickman, who's also the new producer for our show. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones. Special thanks to RS1246 for use of their story on this week's show. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming. We'll be right back.